Book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, starting from verse 1.
Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, Aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen. And ye are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are an infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession, with the joy of all their heart, with the despiteful minds, to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand, surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame.
God is telling Ezekiel, talk to my people, talk to the mountain, talk to the hills, talk to the valley, and give them the message. Tell them that all the enemies all around you, and they are trying to destroy you. And when God's wrath came upon the Israeli people, that's the time the other surrounding people, they were taking advantage. We learned last time the Edom, who are coming from the Esau's family, they start saying, God did these things to you, and they helped you and the enemies and try to take their land for their possession. Today also you see in Israeli nations, there is a dome where the Muslim people worship. That was not their land. That was not their place. But they took it when the Israeli people were weaker. And when the Israeli people already defeated them, that's the time one of the army officers said, let's destroy this Muslim place where they worship. But the people were afraid that all the world's Muslim people will fight against Israel, so they let it go. So now that is like a thorn in their flesh. Same thing happened to Israeli people when God's wrath came upon Israeli people. If you remember, in the earlier when we were studying the book of Ezekiel, God talked to Ezekiel and said, talk to the mountains, talk to the rivers, talk to the valley. And that's the time that Ezekiel was talking. At that time, God was not saying the things he is saying today. He said in this chapter, I did everything in my jealousy, in my anger, in my frustration, and I took you out of your land, and now you are in the enemy's territory. Then he said, why this happened, he's giving the example. But let's go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 6 and start reading from verse 1 to 7. And Ezekiel gave the message to the mountains and the valleys and the rivers. And now same Ezekiel, God is telling him to give the different message to the mountains and valleys. Let's read the first message he gave it to.
And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel, and prophesy against them. And say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys. Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places. And your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. And I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. And all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
See, this was the message earlier God gave through Ezekiel. And God told these people, what's going to happen to you if you don't listen to me? They were doing idol worship. They were shedding the blood. They were killing each other. They were not living according to the will of God. Not only that, in the holy temple, they were bringing the idols and doing all kinds of evil things. And God gave them the message. He says, your carcasses, your bodies will be falling all around the Israeli places, mountains, valleys, river, and everywhere. So God was saying, this is what's going to happen. You people will be destroyed, an enemy will destroy you. And when these people, they thought, oh no, God is not going to do this. He's just saying it. Years and years and years passed away. So they never listened to God. And exactly happened. And now they are scattered everywhere. Now they are, wherever they went, they adopted their laws and rules and regulations and their worship service, and many people start worshiping heathen gods. Now God wants to reverse everything and telling them, Ezekiel, now you go and tell the mountains and the valleys and rivers and see what God is going to do. And the same time, he might be telling the people who were listening at that time. People might be thinking, God has scattered us. Now we have no hope. How are we going to go back? But God is giving them hope, and he is telling them, why I did this? Because you were doing idol worships. But God can change it. Sometime today, people are living in miserable life. They are committing all kinds of sins. And sometimes they think, we don't want to do these things. But they cannot help it. And they keep on doing it what they don't want to do it. And that's the kind of thing these Israeli people were doing it. And in this chapter, God is giving the solution. Only God can change the hearts of the people. Only God can change the minds of the people. Then somebody would say, why God did not allow these people, whatever they're doing, and all the sin they committed? And God would have said, okay, I'm going to send the prophet. I'm going to forgive all your sins. And I'm going to give you a new heart and you'll be all right. Why God didn't do it in earlier? Why God is doing now? But what God is saying, I wanted to teach you a lesson. When I gave you the land, all the enemies were defeated and you are living in luxury, and that's the time you start doing wrong thing. God said, I'm not going to say, okay, I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to give you a new heart and you'll be all right. They are not going to learn the lesson. But that's why God says, in my anger, in my jealousy, I try to bring the enemy and try to destroy you. And now this was not a one day or 2 days. This was for 80 years. Can you imagine? Some of the people already died. And some of the people, they were alive and they learned the stories. What the mother and father and their relatives were living in luxury, living in good places, and they had a good kings and everything was going dandy. And what happened? Our people start committing sin. So God is trying to say, now I'm going to do something new. Let's go back to the book of Ezekiel chapter 36, starting from verse 8.
But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come.
Now hear what the God is saying. Do you know when before God created Adam, he created all the fruits and vegetables and everything what man needed. God didn't say, okay, I'm going to make Adam, and when he say I'm hungry, then I'll create the fruit. When he say I need a water, then I create the river. God created everything before God created man. Just like when the baby comes, before baby comes into this world, God already provide the milk and everything for the baby. So God is trying to say, now your land is wasted. Wasteland. There is nothing growing. No animal, no person living in there. All the thorns and thistles and everything bad, and nothing is growing. But I'm going to change it. He says, I'm going to change it. All your mountains will have all the new trees will be coming. All the fruit trees will be coming back again. And your rivers will start flowing again. No famine, nothing. And everything will be green. And I'm going to flourish the land. Verse 9.
For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown.
So God says, before that says, I am against you. I don't listen to you. I don't listen to your prayer because sin came between you and me. But now he says, I am for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? So God is now saying, I'm for you. I'm going to help you. Now you can till, you can sow, you can grow everything. Wherever you put your hand, it will prosper. You remember Psalm 1 verse 3, it says, the man is blessed. The man is just like planted by the riverside, and his leaves will not wither. He will give fruits in all the seasons, and whatever he does, it will prosper. When God is with you, you can prosper. Otherwise, you can work hard, and you can work hard, and you can work hard, but this will like a hole in the bucket or hole in the pocket. You earn everything, you make everything, but it disappears because God's blessing is not there. Here the God says, I'm with you. Now you start sowing, make your garden, I'll make it prosper. Whatever you do, I will bless it. And that's what people can see. When you prosper, people are going to see how this person is prospering. No sickness, no disease, no problem, and they were having all the prosperity. Even though some person next door to you may be making $500,000 a month, and they have debts, and they have problems. So much money and everything, but no peace. Why the people getting heart attack? Why the fear, anxiety, the heart stops. They don't know what to do. But if you are a born again child of God, all the trials and tribulation comes, you're not going to get panic and your heart is not going to stop. You're going to praise God, you're going to glorify God in each and every situation, and you're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything. Whatever the trials you're giving, say thank you. Don't sit and curse God, because God has to be in your side. Here he says, I'm your side now. You tilt, you sow, you do everything, and I'll prosper you. Verse 10.
And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and you shall know that I am the Lord.
See, here it says, I bought you in the land in the beginning. There I said, milk and honey flowing land, but now I'm going to bring you back. This time it'll be better than before. This time you don't have to fight with the enemy. You don't have to conquer people. I already taken care of those people. And this time you're going to multiply. You're going to build the houses. Nobody's going to take your houses. Nobody going to take your farm. And you will be very prosperous. And God is giving them assurance. So now don't worry. You're coming back to your hometown. And you will be very, very blessed. Verse 12.
Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, thou land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nations. Therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith the Lord God.
Now he says, in the olden time, you were very bad people, nasty people, destroying each other, your brothers and your sisters and your family members and your nations. But now it's not going to happen like that. When you're coming back, you will have love for your people. You will have love for your nations. You will love and harmony with your brothers and sisters. No jealousy. Your heart will be changed. Sometimes when the people have so many things, so much things they have, but they are not satisfied. They look at other person and say, he had that beautiful car, I should have it. If I don't get it, I'm going to steal it. I'm going to kill that man or do something and get it. People are not satisfied what they have. And people sitting there and they saying last year what problem they had, and they are not thankful what God did good for them. I would tell them, you are alive. You are not dead. So why you worry what happened in the last time? You should be thankful that you are alive. You have to have a notebook. Whatever God does something good, you write it down. And whatever bad happens to you, write it down. At the end of the year, if you check, all good things will be more than what bad thing happened. But what people do, they think bad thing and they forget the good thing. And they're thinking God is not doing anything. God does everything, but we are not thankful. When you're sleeping nighttime, you don't know what's going to happen. So many people die in their sleep, don't you know? But when you get up, you say, thank you, Jesus, I'm alive. Now, there are some people, they are strong men and women. They're doing exercise and doing everything and build body and everything. The point I'm making, the people are thinking, if you do more exercise, strengthen your body, you will live longer. Some people say, oh, my heart is weak. My heart is not pumping properly. My heart is stopping and things like that. But thank God. If you got one more day, say, thank God my heart was weak, but I'm still alive. That person might live longer. You see so many people running and running and falling and dying and doing exercise, and they die in the exercise machine. So what I'm trying to say, only God can pump your heart every day until you die. But your death is not in your hand. It's in God's hand. But there are people, they take their life in their hand and they die. But somebody's weak and every day heart is pumping and you say, thank you, Jesus, for one more day and one more day. You never know how long you live. Don't worry how your heart is. Don't worry how strong you are. If God is in your side, if God is with you, nobody can harm you. Nobody can kill you. Nobody can destroy you. But if you start saying every day, I don't know when I'm going to die. I might die next week. I might die next month. You keep on thinking like that. Your heart knows what you're talking about. And one of these days, you might die. Psalm 118 verse 17. What he says, I will not die. I will live. And I will glorify the name of the Lord. I'll proclaim the works of the Lord. What does it mean? If you're living for God, God will protect you. And live for God. And that's what God wants. Okay, verse 15.
Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen anymore, and neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people anymore. Neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall anymore, saith the Lord God.
Can you imagine? Look at this blessing. He said, no nations, no one will defeat you anymore. Jordan, Saudi Arabia, they are not taking these Muslim people in their land and not giving them citizenship, but Israeli people gave them citizenship. And they are living in luxury, they are living in good life. But people don't understand. All these people who are in the United Nations, they don't know the history of Israeli people. And they are trying to push them around. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. You remember David was the king in Jerusalem, that is his headquarter. And now these people are saying, these Muslim people are saying, Jerusalem is ours. Give us that Jerusalem and we will have our headquarters in Jerusalem. And all these people are saying, hey, Israeli people, give the Jerusalem to Muslim and let them live there. Now the Israeli people changed their heart. Before that they said, okay, we'll give. And that prime minister now today, he's reading the Bible and he read it in the Bible. And he said, hey, this land is yours. Nobody can take it. You should not be giving this land. So now they said, no. Now there is no two nations. Now two states. We will have one state. You want to live with us? There are other Muslims living in our state. You want to live. But I'm not going to give you another state. They're just saying, okay, we'll give two states. It's never going to happen because here's the word of God saying, God is not going to allow other nations to fight with them or embarrass them or destroy them, because God says, I brought all you people back to your land. Nobody has power to destroy Israel. And people are thinking Israel is a small nation, but they have one bomb called Samson bomb. You remember Samson killed himself and destroyed all the people in that temple? So this is the idea. They said, if somebody tried to mess around with us, Israeli people telling today, we have the Samson bomb. That bomb is so powerful. When they set that bomb, Israel and other nations can be destroyed and everything will be fine. So they said, don't mess around with us because we have Samson bomb. So the point I'm making, they will not use that. But here the word of God is saying, God has given this Israeli people power and grace is around with you. Nobody can mess around. Nobody can destroy this nation again. Verse 16.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them, for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it.
Okay, now again he is reminding here, you know, Israeli people, you're going to go back to your land. But let me tell you what you did before. You did so many horrible things. And you were like, he's giving an example that a lady got the menstrual period and she used some kind of cloth to wipe out that blood. That is very dirty and filthy blood. She said, you were just like that. And you polluted my land and you were doing idol worship and everything. And so I hated you so much. That's what the problem was. He's reminding them. Verse 19.
And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes.
Now God reminded them how you are filthy, how you are very bad people. I allow you to conquer by other people. And you went there and you spoiled my name. So God is saying, no, I'm not rescuing you because you are good, but I'm rescuing you because of my good name. When Israeli people were prosperous, like King Solomon or King David, his name was great. People were afraid of Israeli people. So he said, now you are in heathen places. Israeli people are suffering. And the heathen people are saying, look at these God's people. How great these people were. And now see how miserable life they are living. And so now God says, I heard all of these heathen people talking about my name. So I want to protect my name. I want to keep my name. Because of my name's sake, I'm going to bring you back. Okay, verse 24.
For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them.
See, here the word of God is saying, I give you the commandment. According to that commandment, not a single person was able to walk or live. But now I'm going to give another commandment. But before that, the commandment were on the stone. So that 10 commandments they were doing, but they can break one commandment, they were guilty for all commandments. So God's saying, I'm going to make a new covenant, a new commandment. And we read it all along in this book, those covenants. Let's go back to the Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34.
And behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord.
Now here is saying, compare that the commandment I gave it to you, the covenant I made with you, you broke it, but now I'm going to give you a new covenant, new commandment. Okay.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people.
See, this is the new covenant God was going to make. He says, I am going to keep my commandment or my law in your heart. When the God's law is in your heart, then you cannot commit sin. The David says, I cannot commit sin because your word is hidden in my heart. If the people who read the Bible every day, people who memorize the words of God every day, they will not commit sin. Because before they commit sin, the word of God will come and whisper in their ear. Because the word of God is just like a mirror. So when the word of God is in your heart, you cannot commit sin. But how the word of God comes to you, according to the New Testament, the word of God is who? Jesus Christ is the word of God. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ comes to live in you. Then when you Jesus Christ comes to live in you, what you get? You get the Spirit of Christ. St. John chapter 1 verse 12, what it says, as many as received him, who? Jesus Christ. To them he gave the power to be called the sons of God. What happened? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of Christ came in your spirit. That's why book of Romans chapter 8 verse 9, it says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. Means you cannot call yourself Christian. There are so many nominal Christians. In today, there are churches, I don't have to give their names, but they are not born again, they are not saved, they don't take the water baptism, they don't fill with the Holy Spirit. They are just like a social gathering. They just come and just go. But here the word of God is saying, I will put the word in your spirit. But today, we have the word of God, Jesus Christ, in our heart. That's why we have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of Christ. Once you have Spirit of God and Christ lives in you, you cannot commit sin. That's what the Word of God says. If you are born again, you cannot commit sin. Then people say, but we do sin. No, you are not doing. Your flesh is doing. Your spirit cannot commit sin because you are a born again child of God. But if you commit sin, what the Bible says, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer, Jesus Christ. You just go to him and say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Could you please forgive me? He will do it. But if you don't go to the lawyer, you don't have a case. You cannot stand before God. So Jesus Christ is the mediator. When you come to Jesus Christ, he rescues you. But if you say, oh, I'm committing sin, I did something today, and until evening I'm keep on committing sin, and then evening I'll sit and say, Lord, all my sins, I ask you forgiveness. But you don't have any guarantee that you will come home. You might die in the problem or, you know, accident or anything. So the word of God is saying you have to ask forgiveness. You have to repent. And you have to put it right. Then the lawyer will work for you. Do you know if you keep a lawyer and don't tell the lawyer the truth? Do you think the lawyer can win your case? No. This and then next they say, oh, no. This I didn't do that. This. So lawyer say, hey, why are you making me liar? Tell me the truth. And then even though you murder somebody, I will defend you. But one day you say, I murdered, another day you say, I didn't, I cannot defend you. Same way Jesus Christ is our lawyer, so you tell him the truth. Don't hide anything from Jesus. You go on to the, confess your sins to the priest, and the curtain is in between, and the priest doesn't know who is asking forgiveness, and then you go and you are a little bit afraid, so you don't tell the truth to the priest, because he is the human being. So you don't tell the truth, and he said, okay, I'm going to pray. What is going to pray? You lie to him. He cannot lie to God. You have to be truthful to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the mediator. And so when we are truthful to God, he will rescue us. So here he's saying, I am going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new soul. The fleshly heart, the stony heart, I'm going to take it out. You're in the Jeremiah. Read the 32 chapter, verse 40.
And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them, to do them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me.
See, this is the covenant. I make the new covenant, and they will not be afraid of me, and I'll put my covenant in their heart. That means they are going to walk according to my will. Okay, go back to the book of Ezekiel chapter 36. starting from verse 28.
And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God.
See, he said, now you will be my people, and I will be your God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, if you read, the word of God says, you are living in a heathen people, you are living with a sinful people, you are living surrounding all bad people in your neighborhood and everything. You don't match with them. Do not mix with them. The word of God says, come out from the filthy and unholy people. Do not touch any unclean thing. And then he said, I'll be your father and you'll be my children. So we cannot mingle with the sinful people. Now, how many people had drinking party? All these people, some of the people die in these parties. And God says, don't touch unclean things. Get out of those people, and then I will receive you. Okay, verse 29.
I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen.
Once you are out of those sinful people, once you belong to God, then God says, I'll multiply you. When you are a born-again child of God, there is no miscarriage. Miscarriage is a curse. If people getting miscarriage or some other problem comes, the word of God says, I will be making you fruitful and I will multiply your children, multiply everything. You don't have to worry. Brother George and myself, we were traveling. We were going to New Jersey for a healing service and we were in our car. And the lady called me and said, Pastor Peter, my daughter having a miscarriage, and she is almost in labor pains. I said, give it to her. And I talked to the girl, and I told her to give your heart to the Lord and ask forgiveness for your sins. And I'm going to pray that God is going to bless your child, and you are not going to have miscarriage, and you will not have any problem. And this Thanksgiving, the lady called me, and I said, How is your daughter's baby? She said, Pastor Peter, she's so smart child. And she's growing and this and that. And now a couple of years, I don't know how many years passed. So the point I'm making, that baby didn't die, but she's the smartest child, praising God and glorifying God. The baby was going to die. How she lived? Because we took authority. And I led that lady to Christ. And now your baby is a God's child. Nobody can take it from you. That's what the word of God says. I'm going to multiply. I'm going to bless. One day when the lady called me, said, Pastor Peter, I was listening to your radio program. I had only one quarter and I put it there. And before that quarter finished, could you please pray? I said, ma'am, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the healing power. And I talked with her. And then I said, now tell me, where is hurting? She said, now no pain. I said, how it happened? Because you heard the word of God. Word of God has power to clean you, heal you, deliver you, and set you free. That lady came with 4 or 5 children and our church to testify. The point I'm making, God can do a miracle. Other day, one lady came and she said, oh, Pastor Peter, I have 2 or 3 girls and now I'm pregnant. I want a boy. I said, let's pray. I prayed for the boy. She goes to the hospital for ultrasound. When the ultrasound done, that the doctor says it's a girl. She got mad and she called me, said, Pastor Peter, didn't you pray for the boy? I said, yes, ma'am. But it's a girl. I said, who told you? The doctor told me. I said, doctor is wrong. But the ultrasound, and the machine be wrong. Wait until the baby comes. And then called me, and the baby came as a boy. She said, Pastor Peter is a boy. The point I'm making, you have to trust God. God is the creator. He can recreate everything. Okay, go back to the 31.
Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you, and be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited.
See, exactly happened. All these things God is saying, here he's saying, listen, all the people, when they pass by, they are going to see this land. They say, what happened to this land? This land looks like a Garden of Eden. Now people are going and visiting Israel. And everybody goes there and takes the picture and come back and shows the beautiful land. God promised exactly happened. And the land is now so flourished, the Israeli grapes and Israeli fruits coming to America and London and other countries. They have lots, and they are teaching other people how to do farming where the famine is. And they invented, you go to desert and they have a machine, and the machine makes water, and they got the water. God has given these people so much knowledge and invention, so they are helping other people, and helping even the Muslim, going to Africa and poor countries and giving them water and food. So the point I'm making, the word of God says, I am going to rebuild you, I'm going to bless you, your city, your state, your country will be like a Garden of Eden. Verse 36.
Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord.
I will make you so fruitful, just like a flock. If you have a sheep or goat, do you know every 4 or 6 months they multiply? Just like if you have a rabbit, how they multiply. So many rabbits multiply. That's the way sheep and goats, they multiply so much. So he says, listen, the lady can bring only one child. But now they give you medicine and make five children, six children, something like that. But originally God's plan is give one, maximum two babies. So, but the animal, sometimes there are two or four babies. So he said, I will multiply you like sheep and goats, and you will be so much flourished. And that's the way the Israeli people are flourishing. God is multiplying Israeli people, and more people has to come. There are so many people are still in other side. Okay, the time is almost gone, but I was planning to finish the 37. It's a very easy chapter. We're going to read, and a little bit I'm going to explain to you. Come on, go ahead. Chapter 37.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.
First of all, 36th chapter, he says how he's going to multiply. 37th chapter, he's giving him a vision. God put him in the spirit and took him in the land, and he saw the valley, all the dead man's bones. They were very dry. Means not like a flesh people died and maybe weak old bone. They were very old bone, dried bone. There was no hope that this bone can come to life. He asked, do you think this bone can come together and be how life is? The Lord, only you know. You can do it. There is nothing impossible. And when he commanded, all the bones start coming together, and he heard lots of noise. Not one bone, thousands of people. Their bones, their tendons, their flesh and the skin and everything came. But they are still lying there like a dead people. Now he said, can you tell these bones? The wind should come and breath will come in them. And then they will stand on their feet. He said, okay, Lord, if you say I'm going to do it. Exactly what God says, he's going to prophesy. Read the words. Okay, 10. Okay.
So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel.
Now why God showed him this? He saw these people. He prophesied over them. The dry bone came to life. Now flesh came and everything came. And now there was no life. And he called the life and the wind came. And they're standing before him. How many people? Multitudes of people. Who are they? He said that was an army of people. You remember we learned thousands of armies were died. And their bones were scattered everywhere. And nobody was able to bury them. In earlier chapter we read, now all these bones, and even the Holocaust bones, and every bones, God says, all these bones will rise, and they will be like a great army. Do you know in today in Israel, each and every person is an army person? Not a single person is not in army. Everybody is born in Israel, they're male or female, they are in their army. If they have need, they can call and everybody can come. So here these people stood. He says, who are these people? This is the army of Israel. Israel has nothing to be afraid because all these people will be coming. And then he giving example. Do you know who these people are? He's asking Ezekiel. This is the nation of Israel. What happened to Israeli people? They say, oh, we are like a dry bone. We have no hope. We have no future. But now he said, I can make you stand from this all this dry bone. But he is giving another hope. He said, not only that, what I can do, all the people died from Abraham until Christ comes to be ruling. All those people can come out of the grave. Can you imagine how many people will be there? From that time to this time, so many people will come out of the grave. Verse 13.
And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. And then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord.
Now he says, all these people come out of the grave. Do you remember once Jesus Christ coming, and Martha and Mary's brother died? And then they called him, he didn't come, and 3-4 days later he comes, and then he wanted to raise him. So Martha said, oh no, no, Lord, he might be stinking now. I know he will be raised in the last days. They knew the last days God is going to raise all these people for the millennium kingdom. Let's go to the book of Daniel chapter 12 verse 2.
And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
See, all these people, Israeli people, according to book of Ezekiel, all these people will coming out of the grave and they will be in the millennium. So you can see millions of people will be there. Go back to the Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 14.
And shall put my spirit in you and ye shall live and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel as companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And one of the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these?
Now what happened? God says, okay, Ezekiel, do one thing. Take a rod. Here is a stick. But he's talking about the rod, the king rules. Now he said, take the rod and the rod of Judah And take the rod of Joseph, meaning Israel, in the early days, when the kingdom was divided, David was the king, Solomon was the king, Solomon committed sin, God says your kingdom will be divided. After Solomon's death, the kingdom divided. Judah and Benjamin, Judah kingdom. Israeli 10 tribes, another kingdom in Samaria, and Judah's kingdom in Jerusalem. Now, they were divided. Now, God says, what I'm going to do now, bring all these people together and take this rod and take another rod, one is Judah, one is Joseph, Israel, and put it together in your hand. And they are going to be one rod. And the Israeli people watching this thing, he said, what are you trying to tell us? What are you doing this? He said, I'm going to explain to you what I'm doing. Let's read further.
Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all.
Here the Lord is saying, now this two stick, you saw in my hand, what is the mystery of this? No more Judah's kingdom, no more Israeli kingdom, no divided. There will be one king and one nation in Israel in the final years. Okay.
Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them.
We learn. Angel came and told Mary, Jesus Christ is coming in the David's lineage. He will be king, and his kingdom will be everlasting kingdom. And we learn Jesus Christ is the shepherd, and Jesus Christ is king. We earlier chapter we learned. So here is saying, this king and this shepherd will be coming from David's family. So the Jesus Christ is coming, and he will be the king, and he will be shepherding his people in the millennium. Okay, verse 25.
And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they, and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever.
My servant David will be prince forever. They didn't understand. They might be thinking, oh, God is going to raise the people from the grave. David will be the king again. But he says, no, David will be the prince. Isaiah 9:6, we know Jesus Christ is the prince of peace. So the Jesus will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the millennium. Okay, 26.
Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore.
See, here God says, my tabernacle with my people. When they say tabernacle, is the presence of God. In the millennium, there will be presence of God, and all the heathen people from around the world will come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. Here they have a hope that one day God will dwell with them in millennium for 1,000 years. And we have a hope in Revelation chapter 21 verses 3 to 8, if you read, it says God, Jesus Christ and God the Father will be tabernacle with a man, and we will be living with God for eternity. Now, even though he says you will be living forever for Israeli people, but that kingdom will not forever. Millennium kingdom finishes, then will be eternal kingdom starts. And we will be part of the millennium kingdom, and we will be part of eternal kingdom. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Lord Jesus, you gave hope to Israeli people. Today, they are settled in their land, and you even promised them, I will bring the people from the grave, out of the grave, and they will be great army. Lord Jesus, you have given us hope. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Dead in Christ will rise first, and we will be transformed, and we'll go with you, and we will be there when the tribulations and trials happening in this world for 7 years. And we will come back for the millennium. That's our hope. After the millennium kingdom, we will be with you forever for eternal kingdom. And that's the great hope you have given to us. Let the whole world know Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. If you don't have a peace, Lord Jesus, give them grace to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior in their heart. So they will have eternal peace and eternal joy. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.